Welcome to the Back in Time podcast with Kyle and JD, where every week we jump into our DeLorean, cruise to 88 miles per hour, and travel back in time to review our favorite films. Every week we talk about current cinema, the latest trailers, and we pick a new favorite film every single episode.
And I need a nuclear reaction to generate the 1.21 gigawatts of electricity.
1.21 gigawatts!
Don't say that! Never say that! Goonies never say die!
You're the best! We're the beautiful! We're the only!
Now, here's your host, Kyle Autry, and his co-host, JD.
Welcome back to the Back in Time podcast. I am your host, Kyle Autry, joined as always by my co-host, JD. JD, what's going on?
Word up. Dude, we are knee-deep in Christmas. It's a blizzard where I am right now, but who gives a crap? Because we're about to talk some Scrooge.
Yeah, we've got a huge storm coming in. I've also got a huge storm brewing in my stomach. I'm going to have to go to the bathroom after this. TMI?
Yes.
Okay.
Very
too much.
TMI.
Too much. Okay. I had a lot of chicken.
I was just going to ask. I wanted more info, not TMI. Where's that storm coming from? Apparently, it's coming from chicken.
Yeah. Well, it's a good mixture. So I went home. I had my family's pizza, which is we're famous in that area for making a stuffed pizza. JD's had it before. The crust goes all the way over the top. It's like a pot pie. And then I mixed it with some hot wings today, and that, man, no bueno. It's just been, all day long, I've just been like, oh, wow. What's that sewage coming out of my rear end?
That'll happen.
Yeah, that'll happen.
The roof heater.
In our archives, Super Troopers, check it out. Never afraid of a shameless plug here on the Back in Time Pod. At Back in Time Pod on Twitter, Instagram. We're also on Facebook. Check us out. Leave us a 5-star review. And while you're at it, go over to YouTube and subscribe to our page. Big things planned for next year. We've got some content we're going to upload on there. We're thinking of some cool ideas. You can also check out our affiliate, fivefingertees.com. Get your hands on some cool graphic tees and hoodies just in time for the holidays. Go ahead and surprise a loved one. Or maybe get yourself a new shirt. Maybe you got a little hole in your armpit, a little air conditioner, as I like to call it. But yeah, it's time to trade in that old shirt. Get yourself a new one. Use promo code 5OFF. Save yourself a little money at the checkout. Before we jump into Scrooge, let's travel back 2 weeks ago when we talked about Rocky. And we had a special guest on that episode. Shout out Paranormal Pat over at Paranormal Pativity Podcast. What was your feedback on our Rocky episode?
I got a lot of good feedback, especially for those that had watched Rocky for the first time in a long time and don't remember just how silly a lot of Sylvester's performance is, especially when it comes to the scene in the pet shop with the birds that he calls flying candy and the big worm. Oh, there's the big worm. Stuff that I don't know that we touched on, but.
Hey, Butkus! Oh, yeah, hey, tell her a joke,
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, but nothing but love. Obviously on the wings of Creed 2, which I'm sure we'll talk about.
Big hit. They did, I guess we didn't make this prediction. We should have added the extra day for Thanksgiving, but I think they did just under 60 million on the 4 or 5 day week that they had. So pretty much on par. I think that was your guess, actually.
I want to say that was my guess. Yes, I take credit for that.
Okay. I actually have not watched it yet. I got dragged to Wreck-It Ralph 2, and I contributed to them taking first place at the box office. But it was, I can't take a five-year-old to Creed 2. He's just not ready for it. I still have to show him 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and then I can get to Creed 2. So
I feel like you can start with Creed and go to Creed 2, and then all of the Rocky franchise before is just prequel.
True. I just can't do it, though. I got to show him number one first.
You can't do it, or you don't want to do it?
I don't want to do it. And myself, I actually tried to go through all the Rocky movies before I go see Creed. I'm actually on number 3 already. I've been watching up a storm.
So how was number 2?
Number two is solid.
It was a solid number two.
I can't wait for number two. But the thing about the sequel is they start getting into themes with the sequels. The first one is Go the Distance. The second one is Just Win. The third one, I don't even remember what it is because I haven't got to it yet. But I know that there's a theme on every single movie. There's a lot more boxing in this one, but it's also a lot more of Rocky kind of struggling with the fact that, you know, the doctors have told him his eye is too bad. His wife doesn't want him to fight. She's pregnant. And then he kind of struggles with finding his way after a life in sports, which a lot of people do. It actually relates well with the world. A lot of people don't know what to do after they're done being an athlete. So, especially ones that make a lot of money. Unfortunately, we find out from Gazzo, he only cleared like 100 or out of 150,000, I think he took home 35 grand after taxes and paying all his fees and stuff. So, didn't get a chance to keep a lot of that money.
Yeah, but back in 1970s, that was a good payday for a night's work.
Yeah, I would agree. I agree. So we should stop there because we're going to do Rocky too at some point. So I don't want to get too much into that.
Damn right we will.
Yeah, I think that'll be a fun one to get into. We might want to just do two and three back to back and just kind of go right through that story arc. Maybe even four. Just boom, boom, boom. Just knock them all out one time.
Well, I kind of like that idea.
We thought about that with Back to the Future in our archives. Also, shameless. Interview with Casey and Gaines in our archives as well.
You are a shameless butt plug man, aren't you?
Well, not with the... Yeah, I guess.
Hey-o.
Hey. Let's just talk a little bit, man. I haven't talked to you since Thanksgiving. We had a really fun JD and Kyle shoot the breeze, talk turkey episode, which I got great feedback on from one of our buddies. Shout out to Phantom Dark Dave. Thought it was a real hoot. Listening to us talk before he sat down for dinner. But what's been going on with you, man? What's new?
Nothing really too exciting. I know I mentioned a short that I had written that'll be going into production and hopefully by the time that you guys are listening to this. Okay. Had a great Thanksgiving. Got to catch up with some family members that I hadn't seen in a while.
Hey, how's Jesse?
Jesse is doing great. He's will hopefully be on a future episode. I'm gonna see him over Christmas.
Okay.
He's doing good. He's dating abroad.
A dame.
He's got a dame. He's got a go-to dame that we might meet over Christmas, and he's bringing his dog in. So that's exciting.
Dog, new dame, new tattoos.
He put a pause on it after half of his body is covered.
Okay. Seems like a time to take a pause and figure out how far do I really want to take this thing?
Yeah, he was like, you know, I noticed people staring at me the other day, and he's like, well, some people totally dug it. Other people were kind of like, what the hell is this guy?
A lot of people run into that. And we may have a guest on this episode, and I'm interested to find out how many tattoos he has. I'm talking about the Angry Dad podcast. I haven't gotten confirmation yet, though. So if he doesn't get on that episode, you guys will never hear this. It'll be edited out. But if he is, we're going to find out exactly how many tattoos he has because he's covered. And so,
being a man with five tattoos, I understand the casual looks, but to be covered, I don't. Ooh, that's a lot of pressure.
Yeah, I'm zero. Nothing for me. Nothing but scars, but chicks dig scars and they dig the long ball, according to Greg Maddux and Tom Glavine. But yeah, anything crazy happened at Thanksgiving, or would the family stay in check?
Oh gosh, do we have enough time? There was a couple of good moments of animosity between the old mommers and grandma.
Okay.
They butt heads like nobody's business, and they just try to like, I don't know, for any family that comes from, any of our listeners that come from an Italian family or any kind of ethnic background, you understand.
Oh, yeah.
the mom and the grandma dynamic and just the total lack of appreciation or candor that either can have during the holidays. I had to pull my mom to the side at one point and say, you can't say that out loud to your mother on Thanksgiving. You can't do that. Why am I explaining this to you? You're 60.
So I think I've told you this before, but my wife's mom is, my wife's father is half Italian. His mom is, they met in Italy when the grandpa was there for the war. And she's like old school Italian. So we go out to dinner. I won't say what it's about, but the grandma at one point just starts yelling at my wife's cousin. And she's like, look at what you're doing to your mother. We do not approve. And she's just going on and on. And we're like, you got to calm down, Nona. Like, we're in the middle of a restaurant here. We can't have you throwing Italian bread over here. So, but yeah, since then, every time I see my wife, I'm like, we do not approve. And she's like, will you stop? But I love the accent. It kills me. Yeah, that's the first time she's ever lost it, though. So I enjoyed the crap out of it. I was like, this must be what it's like at JD's Thanksgiving and pretty much every holiday.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. It'll happen.
It'll happen.
Last time I saw my older brother.
Oh, yeah. Was he there?
No, thank goodness.
No, couldn't make it, huh?
I don't care to know.
Yeah, so mine was a little crazy. We ended up doing Thanksgiving here. And then my parents really wanted us to come up. My mom made a second Thanksgiving dinner. So I got two Thanksgiving dinners. Back-to-back days. My wife did a ton of shopping. I did zero shopping. Actually, I did go to Walmart. I went through every single DVD shelf I could go through. I walked away with one. It's the only thing I could warrant spending the money on. I got a Blu-ray Ready Player One for like $6.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I haven't watched it since it was in theater, so I liked it enough to drop the $6 on it. We'll see how it goes. Apparently has a lot of DVD, Blu-ray extras, which you know I like, so I'm hoping for a commentary track from Spielberg. Maybe I can say that again without screeching, like I'm in the early years of Saved by the Bell.
Oh, with Samuel Screech Powers.
Screech! Yeah, so let's wrap this, and then we'll be back on the other side with our guest in the full review. We'll see you in a minute.
You hate shit, I hate shit. Angry Dad Podcast. Dumbasses make you mad, I get mad. Angry Dad Podcast. Need help getting your lazy ass up to do shit? Angry Dad Podcast. Want to hear my crazy stories on Friday? Angry Dad Podcast. You can find me on Spreaker, Spotify, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Google Play. Want to watch Angry Dad Podcast? IGTV, YouTube. You can find me at Beat of the Fourth Power on every social media. Check me out.
Ryan, I'd like to welcome to the show at this point. We have Ben from the Angry Dad Podcast. Ben, it's been a long time coming. Welcome to the show, man.
Woo! Thanks, guys, for having me on. Much appreciated.
I like that you came in hot with the Ric Flair.
Always, man. Always. Everything I do is hashtag woo!
That's awesome. Awesome, man. Well, hey, tell our audience a little bit about your show, The Angry Dad Podcast.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Well, Pat from Paranormal Pativity and Brian from the Terrible Terror Podcast, you know, we're really good friends. And they always tell me I should do a podcast. Pat was always very happy. Like, you need to do this. You're motivating. He was just like, telling me all this stuff. So I was like, finally kicking the ass enough time for me to be like, I'm gonna make a podcast. And I sat down and I thought about it. I'm like, you know what pisses me the fuck off the most? And so then I was like, you know what, that's my premise, that's what I'm gonna run with. Shit that makes me mad, retarded ass fucking people out there that don't know how to think or act or fucking do anything right. And I'm going to talk about that. And then I'm also going to tell funny, and then it started elevating, you know, like I was doing funny stories that I used to do from the past on Fridays. And, you know, those seem to be like the ones that people love to fucking hear. They love to hear me just like, I grew up in the hood. I grew up in the straight ghetto. Like I lived right off the main. I seen crazy shit my whole fucking life and never batted an eye at it. I just thought it was, that's the way life was. And apparently as I started branching out, that's not what it was. And so, you know, I'm like, screw it. I got hella content and I'm about to put it all the fuck out.
That's awesome. And where can our audience actually listen to your show?
Oh yeah, no, every platform. I post it on IGTV, YouTube, Spreaker, SoundCloud, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, which they finally fucking accepted me because they said that my shit was too fucking out there for them. And then on iTunes and, Apple Podcast.
Yeah, so give him a follow, Angry Dad Podcast. It's a good show. Now, let's begin. I want to start right off here. The film begins, and right away, this theme, very Tim Burton-esque. We arrive at the North Pole. We see some elves working on the toys, and we see Santa Claus. And they're under attack. Santa grabs his assault rifle. A man enters, and it's Lee Majors, the $6 million man. Santa tells him he's been a real good boy this year, and the camera starts to pan out. We realize it's a movie trailer for The Night the Reindeer Died. JD, how bad do you want to see this movie now?
I can't believe it hasn't been made yet. There has to be some fan somewhere with the money to make this happen.
Yeah, you would think at some point it's got to happen, right? Now, next, we see several commercials play for a trailer from IBC, including one for Leave It to Beaver. We cut to a boardroom where we have our first shot of Bill Murray in the lead role of Frank Cross. Ben, thoughts on Frank Cross?
You know what? Yeah, Bill Murray has that cynical look on his face, that typical, like, I'm smarter than everybody, but I'm going to play it off look. And, man, he fits Frank, the Cross position perfectly. Like, just the way he acts, the way he talks, the way he treats people, his demeanor as he walks around and complains in the room, just tell him, I'm going to kill everybody. You know, and I'm like, no, I don't think any other person could have played this role.
Yeah, I agree. And next we see him pull out a drawer and he has a mirror in it. He looks at himself and smiles and says, show me the Scrooge promo. The commercial ends and Cross says, oh my gosh, does that suck. The executives try to justify how much the kids will love it. Cross says they've spent $40 million on this now and he's going to have to kill everybody. Elliot speaks up and says they've been running this for a month, and the people are so excited about seeing this. Cross says, what would he have done if he had been in this opportunity? And he plays a new trailer, and it looks like it's straight out of an action movie, heavy explosives. The executives leave the room, wiping sweat from their foreheads. JD, what'd you think of this?
I don't know that this is going to sell a TV special, but he's on the right path, And this is a scene that's very indicative of why I think this movie is popular nowadays, because this isn't unlike a lot of the marketing tactics that we see to just try to, like, you know, doom and gloom us into watching or listening to podcasts. Like, I've seen so many stupid commercials on Hulu that are making it seem like, seriously, the world is going to end if I don't listen to your podcast. I just stop with that.
Ben, thoughts on Bobcat Goldthwait? He was a huge comedian at this time.
Oh, man, huge. Hey, I said after Police Academy and all, man, talk about, like, when you hear his iconic voice, people mimic it all the time, but, man, I'll tell you right now, you 100% know who he is as soon as he starts speaking. And, you know, and like I said, the glasses. Oh, my God. I was dying laughing when I seen him. And as soon as he starts talking, it just always makes me chuckle.
Let's listen to our first clip of Cross and Elliot Loudermilk and get some thoughts after this.
Take care of it, Frank.
Get me standards and practices in here. I want to see Reese.
Excuse me, sir.
Yes.
Mr. Cross? What exactly does that ad have to do with Scrooge?
Nothing. Why?
can't show that commercial. If you run that, you're gonna frighten people.
Think I'm way off base here?
Yes, you're a tad off base, sir. That thing looked like the Manson family Christmas special.
Well, it's a little late to get this kind of feedback.
That's because, this is the first time I've ever seen it, sir.
You're right, I sprung right.
Well, it's not that bad. It's just loose, like, you know the part with the gun and the blood?
All right.
And the guy, shooting up, and then they...
If I can change it, I'll let you know in 5 minutes.
Well, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
You know, in a lot of ways, I think we're a little bit late. Sir? Merry Christmas. Thanks for the talk.
Thank you. We don't want to scare the dickens out of people.
Merry Christmas, Miss Cooley.
The dickens out of people. Nobody gets it.
Yeah, I like the end of the clip here where Cross fires Loudermilk and then make sure that they cancel his bonus before the end of the day. Andy, what'd you think about that?
I just love the emphasis on the joke at the end. You know, Bobcat's so naive in the movie, and he's just sitting there like, we're the same.
Yep.
And Bill Murray's just like rolling his eyes like, oh, yeah, we're the fucking same. You know what I'm saying? Oh, my God. I just love the banter between both of them. You know what I'm saying? It's just hilarious to me.
So we cut back to his office here, and his assistant, Grace, is a list of gifts to give out, and he just keeps going down the line. He's like, your brother, Cal. So-and-so video recorder, and it's just all so small items, and she's like, I can't believe you're doing that to your only brother. Ben, what'd you think about that scene?
And how she picked up the phone, she goes, code 9? Like, oh man, he's done this more than a few times.
It definitely sucks for him, but I feel like he should have known his boss a little bit better to not have spoken up. Like, he has this coming, and it's sad, and he has his glasses, and I just, I don't, can either of you do a proper Bobcat? Because, oh, I can't.
Oh, no, you get that.
So Grace goes into the office, and she starts packing up for the day, and he freaks out on her and tells her that if he's working late, she has to work late. If you don't work late, then I can't work late. And she has to pick up her son for an appointment for a doctor that she set weeks in advance. And she lets him know that his brother is waiting for him in the office. And we get to the office where we meet his brother, James. JD, did you know there's more than one Murray brother?
I did. I think there's even more than that, too. There's a good amount of Murrays to go around. That's why it's a very Murray Christmas.
So Frank and James are walking down the street. James wants to know if there's any chance that he makes it to Christmas dinner. Frank cuts him off right away and says, no chance. He wishes his brother a happy new year and then steals a cab from an old lady by telling her she dropped something. And then he's giving a speech next talking about how he gives so much, sometimes it just hurts. We cut to Loudermilk, who's drinking on the street as a cab goes by and douses him with water. Cross arrives back at IBC, and he smirks at the security guards before entering the elevator, and we cut to a shot of Grace leaving the doctor office, and she says, $200? For someone to tell me you don't speak? I already know that. We cut back to Cross's office, where things are starting to get a little strange, and we have our first ghost after an explosion in the office. Let's listen to a clip here.
Hi, kid. Would you excuse me? I'm going to have a little drink. I don't mind you hitting me, Frank, but take it easy on the Bacardi. Times, my friend. Oh, my God. It's Lou Hayward, your old boss,
your best friend.
But you're...
dead.
Is 7 years. Has it been that long? Geez, I mean, to look at you, I wouldn't have guessed more than 3 tops.
Oh, Frank. Frank, you are in trouble. Big trouble.
All right. Let's just say, for argument's sake, that you're right, that I am in big trouble. What exactly would that mean?
Look at me. Look at your future. Now, if you don't change your ways, you're going to wind up doomed, just as I am. 1 minute, I'm on the 14th hole at Wingfoot, lining up a putt. A heart attack later, I'm a worm feast.
No. You're not a worm feast. You're a hallucination brought on by alcohol, Russian vodka poisoned by Chernobyl. I've been under a lot of pressure lately. I've been putting up.
Be silenced! Out. I had it all.
Ooh.
I was a captain of industry. Feared by men, adored by women.
Adored? Let's be honest, Lou. You paid for the women.
I'm warning you, Frank. Don't waste your life as I did mine.
Waste? How can you sue a man who invented the miniseries?
Mankind should have been my business. Charity, mercy, kindness, that should have been my business. Don't wait. Get yourself involved. Now, it's too late for me, but it's not for you. You can be saved. You are going to be visited.
Ben, thoughts on this scene here and his former boss, Lou Hayward?
I'm going to mention the obvious. That door is wood, right? You know what I'm saying? And all of a sudden, it's getting hit like it's got fist prints coming through it. You know what I'm saying? But you can see where the fist prints are, so it's like acting like it's a metal door, but when it explodes, you completely see it's made of wood. I was like, okay, you know what I'm saying? If we're going to have a vibrate door and a shaking door and what was the point of putting fist prints in wood? But yeah, I'll tell you right now, the whole everything going on there was really good. The only other problem I had in that scene, not the shooting, not the drinking of the alcohol, but the hanging out of the window part. As he grabs his arm and he's pulling his arm, could you make it sound any more rubbery? You know what I'm saying? It's supposed to be decaying the decaying flesh. You can hear it go, you know what I'm saying? And you see the rubber flipping down. I was like, oh my God.
The scene ends with Lou grabbing him by the neck, hanging him out of the building. Eventually his arm cracks, as you said, breaks and falls, and Cross starts falling down the building. And he comes to, and he's still in the office. Nothing's happened. He grabs a phone and leaves a message for Claire, and he tells her to call him. It's urgent, and to call anytime. He takes a drink and spits out a golf ball from his mouth that came out of Lou's head. We cut to Grace's apartment where we see her family. Her young son is being dressed as a Christmas tree. And then we cut back to the office where Cross is told that some 80-year-old woman died from watching the newest trailers. Cross is told that he can't show this actress on TV because you can see her nipples in the next scene. And Cross says Charles Dickens would have wanted it this way with the nipples. Two stagehands say they can't see the nipples, and Cross says, see? And they're really trying to see them. He excuses everyone, and as the stagehands turn, they knock out the censorship lady with a light post that Cross ducked, and he tells the boys to call the nurse and to make sure her nipples are covered. JD, thoughts on this scene?
Oh, so we're unpacking a lot of stuff right here, and we have not touched on the fact that Bill Murray's drinking tab and vodka. When's the last time you had a tab, Kyle?
Never. I'm not a tab guy.
Yo, you've had tab. Stop pussyfooting around. You're missing out, but I know you like RC Cola, so we're on the same page. Piggybacking on the previous scene where we get to see just like how mentally unstable Bill Murray, Frank, is when he's like bang, bang, boom, when shooting the gun. Like, he's got some screws loose here, and I really want to say and start to sort of paint the picture that I think this movie's more about his nervous breakdown than it is about him actually being visited by ghosts. And the thing that I love so much about Dickens' original work is that I've always read it and watched all of the adaptations as actual ghosts visiting Scrooge. But in this time, I just think it is so much more practical and logical sense that he's just having a horrible nervous breakdown.
That's a really interesting pick. like that. So Claire arrives on set, played by Karen Allen. Ben, thoughts on Karen Allen here? She was a pretty big star around this time.
You know what? She had a plain look and still smoking hot. And, you know, just that smile draws you in. Cause she has that big smile and those bright eyes. And, man, you could see the comfort that she brought Bill Murray in that scene right there. You know? I'll tell you right now. You know, it's funny because, like, I watch a lot of these movies now. And being the person I am and where I grew up, you know, like, sometimes I get, I don't know if it's because of old age, but I start getting emotional because I actually start feeling the emotions that some of these actors push out. And I'm like, God damn, what's going on with me?
You know? Waterworks.
Exactly.
So she calls him lumpy and then compliments him on his short hair and says that it makes him look older and more mature. She asked what he wanted, and it sounded like he heard a ghost when he called. She mentions that she knows that he's scared and concerned, and then as they're talking, Cross starts screaming, "Who are you? What are you doing here?" Grace runs over and says, "That's my son." Cross says, "Oh, good, then you beat him." Claire wants to know why he's so mad, but he just changes the subject, and then as he's talking, we hear some loud hammering. Cross turns and says, "Will you hold the goddamn hammering, please?" Claire gives him her business card and tells him to call anytime and then dips out. The scene ends with, again, Cross asking for the hammering to stop one more time. It finally does, and as the stage setup collapses, shattering glass, and then landing on the poor censorship lady again, who's all bandaged up and sitting on a chair. JD, your thoughts on this scene?
I love that she is getting beat up left and right because censors are known for beating up programs left and right. So it sort of like flops the experience of what we expect. And it's a great juxtaposition. And again, it's another reason why I think this movie translates so well into modern ages. Like, how many times do you watch a show and you're like, wow, this is getting censored, or that didn't get censored? And here we have this woman just getting beat to hell. And it's like, yeah, you take that. You get beat. We like that. Violence against women. We like that. Oh, did I say that out loud?
Oh. So we cut to dinner with Frank and Mr. Preston. Preston is asking how things are going. And Frank is explaining that they will be switching back and forth between the live set and other countries. Preston thinks this is too much for him, spreading himself too thin, and Frank wants to know who it is, and we find out it's Bryce Cummings, who's going to be his partner, the guy from the elevator earlier on. The waiter drops a drink on the table, and Frank goes to grab it, but sees an eyeball in the glass. He starts screaming, and then Frank is starting to see things because he sees a man burning alive. The next scene here, and he runs over, throws water all over him, and says, "I'm sorry. Thought you were Richard Pryor." So outside, he calls for a cab where he's visited by the ghost of Christmas past, and they end up in 1955 at his old house. His house is the only one on the street without lights. They go inside the house, and the ghost says they can't see us or they can't hear us. It's like a rerun. We see young Frank staring in front of the TV, and his old man enters. It's Brian Doyle Murray, the older brother. He drops off a present for his son. Let's listen to a clip here.
Right. They can't hear us. They can't see us. This is not live. It's like a rerun. Check it out.
See, here I am. We all drink our chocolate flavored Ovaltine every day to help give us what we need for rocket power. That's the
Lone Ranger.
That's the
Hello, Earl.
Dear Francis, I've got something for you. Merry Christmas.
A choo-choo train?
No, it's 5 pounds of veal.
But Daddy, I have Santa for a choo-choo.
Well, then go out and get a job and buy a choo-choo.
Ah, oh, Earl, he's only 4 years old.
All day long, I listen to people give excuses why they can't work. My back hurts. My legs ache. I'm only four. Soon he learns that life isn't given you on a silver platter, the better.
I'm gonna. Baby, don't watch too much TV. It's bad for your eyes.
Okay, Mommy.
Merry Christmas, Frankie Angel.
Merry Christmas to you, Mama.
JD, what'd you think of the family dynamic here?
It's a solid gift. I wish my dad gave me a present once, but unfortunately, I don't know my dad, so he can't give me presents. Laugh track. No, but seriously, this scene reminded me of the cable guy. And I don't know that cable guy riffs off of this, but I was watching this and I was like, this is exactly like reminded me just of how unhinged Jim Carrey is in that movie, which goes further to establish my point that Bill Murray is losing his effing mind. That he's not being visited by ghosts, and he's just on a freaking, I don't even know. He's out on, like, Fever Swamp right now.
Good point. Stringy Jim Carrey in our archives. Check out those episodes. So they leave the house. Frank tries to justify that he's lived his life. He starts naming off a few scenarios, but they're either from movies or from friends of his. The ghost just calls him out. They arrive in 68. At an office party, the ghost says they haven't had an office party like this since then. We see a young Frank dropping off mail. He's got long hair past his shoulders, and his boss tells him that there's a party going on here. Enjoy it. And of course, his boss is Lou Hayward. The ghost takes him outside where he literally runs into a door, bumps heads with Claire for the first time as they share a laugh and a quick moment. She calls him Lumpy for the first time here and invites her to a he invites her to a Christmas party, but she says no, and then instead invites him to go out to get some Chinese food, which of course he just yelled at a girl last scene for Chinese food. We flash forward 1 year where we see Claire in the bathtub. Fortunately, we don't get to see Claire in the bathtub. Frank is asking her if he can open a present. She says he can open only one on Christmas Eve. He got her some really nice knives. And she gives him a gift. He opens it up. It's a Kama Sutra book. He opens up the book and starts naming off the positions they've already done. Ben, what'd you think of this scene?
Let me tell you right now. Frank gave her the Ginsu knives. You can cut through a can just like you cut through a tomato. What a hell of a gift. You know what I'm saying? And I love the remark. I never loved a woman enough to give her some knives.
So next, we're in 1970, where we're on the set of Frisbee, and Cross is dressed as a big dog. He wants Claire to go to dinner with the boss and bail on their good friends on Christmas Eve. She tells him that she would like to separate and spend some time apart. We see Frank up in the audience watching himself. The ghost tells him he can't believe he gave up Claire for some dog. Cross admits, I've made some mistakes. And we cut to present day, and Cross is watching the monitor during rehearsals. He's having a breakdown as he walks throughout the stage. JD, thoughts on this scene?
It's a, like you say, it's a good setup, and it establishes in a good way who they are, what they mean to each other, and the stakes that they have present in their current relationship. I think it jumps a little bit that, you know, like, we don't know too much about, we know where Frank ends up. We know that he starts in apparently the mailroom. Is that what we can glean? And being that I don't work in the TV space, is that a normal jump? And this is what I'm thinking. He goes from mailroom to Frisbee to president?
We see Loudermilk coming out of a blood donation trailer next, passes out moments later, and gets robbed by a bum. Cross walks right by him and enters the outreach center, and he's talking to himself here. And we've got an awesome cameo here by Ann Ramsey, played Mama Fratelli in The Goonies. And I was just way too excited about this cameo. She even squeezes his cheek, just like she did to Mouth movie. The homeless people are surrounding him when Claire finally spots him and comes to the rescue. He explains that he's been thinking a lot about the past, and he wonders what would have happened if he would have made different decisions. She tells him it's never too late, and he has a chance to step up. But again, he makes the wrong decision, and We cut back to the set of the show. Ebenezer Scrooge is rehearsing. Bryce Cummings is taking control. When the next ghost arrives, it's the ghost of Christmas Present, played by Carol Kane. JD, what's your favorite Carol Kane movie? And why is it License to Drive?
Oh, jeez. I was just wondering what you were going to name drop there, and that's what you came up with. Future episode. Oh, gosh. I'm just going to agree with you and say License to Drive, because that's a really cool movie.
And she's great in this, and she really kicks the crap out of him here. We cut to Grace's home next to Cross's assistant, and he gets to see how she lives and how big her family is. And her son is like a modern-day Tiny Tim. Cross says he's a bright young kid. What's wrong with him? She says he hasn't spoken since he saw his father killed 5 years ago. Frank feels terrible. He didn't even know her husband had died. The family is giving each other raspberries. Not as bad as the Child's Play episode, but we'll get to that in a second. So we cut to Frank's brother James playing games when his girlfriend is over present. He opens it up. It's a top-of-the-line VCR. Frank says, mistake by my now ex-assistant. The ghost of Christmas Present plugs his ears and continues to pester the heck out of Frank here. JD, thoughts on the raspberries?
It felt more welcomed. It was definitely more embraced for the raspberry, or blueberry, if you want to call it that. Don't call it a blueberry.
We cut to the next scene, and they're in some type of sewer. Frank says, bitch, hit me with a toaster. And then it says, wow, where are we, Trump Tower? He finds Herman down in the sewer, who is frozen to death. This really tugs at Cross, and he yells at Herman and tells him, you should have stayed with Claire. At least you wouldn't be dead. At least a better color. He finally busts through a door, sends a barrel flying through the set. The barrel tumbles over the censorship lady. And Cummings tells Frank he needs to go up to his office and maybe just watch from the satellite, pal. He instructs Grace to take him to the office. As the elevator opens up, Frank sees a man dressed as the Grim Reaper, and he drops to his knees, screaming for him to just take him now. The Reaper, of course, is part of the show, and Cummings just kind of walks in past Frank on the set. And then we go upstairs and cut to Grace's son, Calvin, who's watching the rehearsal. He's got stars in his eyes. Ben, what do you think about Frank losing his mind here?
Well, I'll tell you right now, it's hilarious because, like, he just drops his knees, take me now. He's all, was it Bryce? So stop scaring him and grab him, you know what I'm saying? And then how he gets in the elevator, like, getting himself together. That guy's going places.
So we have a couple quick shots of Preston watching the show with his wife. He's pleased that they brought in mice like he asked. We see cats are watching TV. He says, see, I told you. Next, Cross is looking at a photo of him and his brother, and we get to the part of the show. The Green Reaper shows up, and Loudermilk busts in with a rifle and starts shooting up the office. Frank asks for a head start, so Loudermilk counts 1,000, 2,000, starts firing. Loudermilk is about to kill him when the door to the elevator opens up. And we see the Grim Reaper again, and he thinks it's the one from the show. And then as he pulls back his coat, we see these, I don't even know how to describe these things, like weird figures in his stomach. And we flash forward to see a young Calvin is now in a mental hospital with padded walls. The doors open again. This time, Claire is a stuffy woman who's telling homeless kids to beat it. She says she wasted 20 years of my life with pathetic creatures like these. Till a friend of mine told me, if you want to save someone, save yourself. He gets back in the elevator, the door opens again. This time, he's at his own funeral, where his younger brother is putting him to rest. Frank yells that he wants to live, and he's burning alive here. The door is open, and he's alive. Loudermilk is still right there, and he's like, not for long! And he tells him that he's going to hire Loudermilk back at twice the salary, and he promises an office on the top floor. And smooth things over with Loudermilk. JD, what do you think of this scene? Lot to unpack here.
We're jetting through the ghost of Christmas Future here, which I think is the scariest of all ghosts. And one, I love the way that they present him with a sort of weird demons in his belly. It's very Freddy Krueger. what is that, part four? I don't know. Fans,
like scream when he opens up.
Fans, feel free to send me your hate at Unjust Justin. But I love the fact that he's got this like TV screen as his face, which sort of acts as a focal point to mirror what everything that Frank represents and has gone through and is going to. And then we see this just horrible, horrific, boring, isolated funeral. And the whole time you're like, I really want him to feel the pain. I want to see Bill Murray just get eviscerated here. And then boom, they stuff him into the casket, right?
Yeah.
And he's burning and he is just, I think that's like the worst way to go. And I think for me, like, this is the first time that I sort of think maybe he's not having a mental breakdown. Like, maybe he's just experiencing something out or otherworldly. Because for him to go through that torment would cause him to come out the other side and boom, hallelujah, be all Scrooged and ready to kiss the Christmas spirit.
Cross interrupt programming. Let's listen to a clip here. And he kind of interrupts everything.
Shut up! Don't touch that dial and stay up!
What's your name, son?
Mike.
Mike, say hello to your folks, will you?
Hi.
Mike is doing a great job here for us today. Thank you. Thank you.
That's Frank Cross.
I am...
Frank, is he supposed to be on the show?
I am the president of the IBC Network. Good evening and Merry Christmas. With me in the booth is Elliot Loudermilk. Elliot, how are we doing up there?
Open his mic.
Wonderful! But I don't think you're going to be president tomorrow.
At least I am the president of the network tonight. Tomorrow morning, I may not be.
You can bet your Aunt Susie's ass can on that.
Yeah. So what are you doing watching television on Christmas Eve?
They're paying your salary, you ass!
And what kind of a rat bastard idiot would schedule a live show on a Christmas Eve?
Only you, Frank.
You know, a week ago, I'd have kicked your butt right out of the building. But you know something? He's absolutely right. You are looking at a guy who told someone today to staple antlers to a mouse's head to further my career. How many of you people have got the brass cojones to try something like that?
Frown, stay with him.
Family.
I don't know where he's
going. All of these people, I'm sure, have incredible families, but I have. Look, I got a great brother. Look at this guy here. My brother James, look how cute he was back then.
Oh,
look at me with the ears, the taxi driving down the street with the doors open. And got my hair growing, huh?
Yeah.
I got this for Christmas today from him. I gave him a towel. The VCR is from Grace, James. You were right about everything, okay? Except SS Minnow, James. What was the ship that brought them all to Gilligan's Island? The SS Minnow. No points this round, James.
Wait a minute.
Hello, Wendy.
Ouch! Hello, I'm Torin. How can I help you?
This is Rhinelander. I want to talk to the idiot who put that lure on the air.
Bryce Cummings is the idiot, sir, but he can't talk to you right now because he's tied up. Yes, in fact, he just said that you are a flatulating butthead.
A butthead?
He said he never felt that way about a man before, but he really liked you in a certain way.
I'm just kidding. She's a doll. It's okay. It's all right. It's a party. Come on. It's Christmas Eve. Light up a little bit. Billy, we are going to need champagne for 250 people, and please send the stuff that you send to me. Don't send the stuff that I send to other people. You know, it's not too late on Christmas Eve to have fun.
You can call people that you haven't seen. You can call a college roommate. You can call, you know, an old army buddy.
Keep that tape rolling.
Your personal banker.
Hey! I don't hear any partying in that boat, Elliot!
Great! You heard a party!
Now why wasn't I invited?
Now that was just an innocent window, and you saw what I did to that!
I don't know who you're dealing with.
Ben, what were your thoughts on this long scene here? A lot to digest.
Oh yeah, he's the 180 right there. He's like, I'm completely different. He's running around screaming, God damn it, I fucked up and now I'm coming back. You know what I'm saying? I get it. I get what I did. I understand. And I like how, who in the hell would make people do this on Christmas Eve? And then no one says a thing, but then the camera guy goes, you, Frank. And he's all, and he waves his hand. He's like, normally, I'd have fired that guy. You know what I'm saying? But now it's different, you know? And I just love how he just rambles on. And then he gives one of the Gold Star dancers? Nice long kiss, you know what I'm saying? Taking a little liberals right there, or whatever the hell it is. That would have been a Me Too right there.
Yep, hashtag Me Too. So we close with Cross telling everyone that tonight, for a couple hours, we get to act like the person that you were always wanted to be and meant to be. Cross says, if you give, then a miracle can happen, and it can happen to you. Cross is teary-eyed as he delivers the lines. He says, it's a good feeling, and I'm ready. Ready for this. He says, have a Merry Christmas. Calvin walks up next to him, and Cross says, I forget something, big man. And Calvin says, God bless us, everyone. Claire has made it to the set. He picks her up, brings her on in front of the camera, and kisses her. Cross looks up and sees the ghost all waving at him, and the credits roll. JD, your thoughts on the ending of the film?
It's very Happy Gilmore, isn't it? I hate that we watch movies in our archives, Happy Gilmore, fantastic film, great episode, and then we watch something like that neither of us picked up and we should have said at the time, like, is this not the ending to Scrooged? But here we are now doing it in reverse. I love the ending. I think that it's fantastic, and it does great justice to the original story, and it provides a great adaptation of, you know, a narrative that we all know and love.
Ben, what do you think of Scrooge? When's the last time you saw this movie?
Man, I want to say that I saw it last year around Christmas time. You know, it's not too often I get a chance to watch TV, but when I do, I usually leave it on like the basic channels, and then usually whatever's what I'm listening to or what I'm watching as I'm doing stuff in the background. You know what I'm saying? When I got four kids, brother, so I'm always constantly cleaning. So I like to throw something on, and I listen to it, watch it, you know, pause, sit down for a second, get caught, lost, or, you know, whatever the case is. But I believe last year is, but I ended up watching it last night and this morning. Right when I got off of work, I watched it while I was doing my cardio, so I got about an hour and 40 minutes of cardio watching this movie. And then I watched it as I got home as I was cooking dinner before the podcast. Oh, yeah. Oh yeah, well, you know, it goes like I ain't got nothing better to do at the moment in time. But yeah, the movie is just great; it's phenomenal. And you know, when that kid would start talking, like I said, you know, and I grew up stone cold, badass, fucking dude on the block. I'm the kind of guy that people would cross the street to avoid. And God damn it, that kid almost made me freaking cry, man. I was like, son of a bitch, what the hell's wrong with me?
A little misty in here.
Yeah.
Ben, thanks again for joining us for the episode. This has been really fun. Tell our audience one more time where they can follow you and listen to your show.
All right. Well, you know, thanks guys for having me. And I'm Angry Dad from the motherfucking Angry Dad podcast. You can find me on fucking Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, Tumblr, Facebook, fucking YouTube, all that shit. To the fourth power. And once you find me, you can find me on every platform. It's all the way across the board, the exact same thing. And I do my podcast Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And this week's just been hectic for me because I just did a big move. But now that I'm starting to settle down, get adjusted in there, my podcast is going to be on point, because I think I missed about two Friday podcasts just because of one technical difficulties. The other one, because I was just being fucking lazy and didn't want to do shit. You know what I'm saying? And also, too, I'm going to make this very clear. I don't work on the motherfucking holidays. So on Mondays, if it's a holiday, too fucking bad, because I am just like the fucking government. I'm out.
That's awesome. So again, guys, support his show, Angry Dad Podcast. And again, Ben, thanks for joining us. We're going to be back next week with a brand new episode as we dive into Home Alone. JD, what do you look forward to most when we dive into Home Alone?
I think that we're going to have a lot of stories when we were kids hoping that we would be left home alone.
Okay. I'm looking forward to that. Thank you guys for joining us. As always, you can subscribe to the show. Apple Podcasts, Google Play, CastBox, YouTube. Throw us a 5-star review while you're at it. Let us give us a little feedback there. But it is that time of the episode to climb back into the DeLorean, punch in today's date, return back to present day. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week. See ya.
Seriously, audience, have you had a tab?